Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday,
February 21st, 2015.
Even you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And for the next 2 hours, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes.
When we're at both other places.
Right.
We've always let folks know where they are, but it's amazing that you just brought that up.
Yep.
And thinking, yeah, that is true. Even though, you know, folks says, well, I used to listen to you on that other station, and then you were gone. Yeah. And so...
And people just don't think to go to the website, see what it says.
It still tells where we are. And, oh, the time and day.
Remember when we made our first move, we had this big sign up on the thing with a van that said we're moving and all the new information. Yeah. People still stopped and said, man, you guys went away. I'm so sad. Where'd you go?
Yeah. Mm. I run into that so much. It's like, yeah, I really used to enjoy listening to you folks. I've had a number of folks in the past few weeks say that they come into the shop. It's like, we're still here.
But, you know, geeks tend to go to the web for information.
Yeah.
And normal folks don't.
It's in the newspaper.
What?
They look in the newspaper.
The what now?
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. I'm in the newspaper.
Who's in it? Yeah. Your article there, yeah.
Yeah. But
the other
yeah.
thing I hear all the time is I see you on TV all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been 10 years since we've done the TV show, right?
Yeah. Yep. But people, I watch you every Friday night.
Oh, you do?
Okay, then.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
And you haven't done
I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say to that, but it's very sweet. It really means people are thinking.
You should check out us for hidden cameras.
Yeah.
I watch you every Friday night.
You thought you were alone in your computer room?
That's right. Well, that leads right into our first news story. If you've bought a Lenovo laptop anytime since August, you really want to listen to this. It may have shipped with a dangerous bit of adware known as Visual Discovery by Superfish. Superfish. It's the kind of software add-on that computer makers are often paid to include in their hardware. Superfish exists to serve up ads, but it does so in a maddeningly dangerous way, such that it creates a real security problem for Lenovo users. Worse, Lenovo appears completely clueless about the problem. The company issued a statement shortly after security experts raised the issue, saying it stopped shipping the adware last month, and customers need not worry about the thing compromising their security. We have thoroughly investigated this technology and do not find any evidence to substantiate security concerns, Lenovo said. Robert Graham, the CEO of internet security firm Arata Security, doesn't mince words in assessing the situation. This is a bold-faced lie, he said of Lenovo's statement. It's obvious that there's a security problem here. The adware works by monitoring your web traffic while you're shopping and then showing you similar products to the images that pop up in your browser. To do this while you're securely connected to a website with an address beginning with HTTPS, Superfish intercepts traffic from the site and makes it searchable by tinkering with the Windows operating system and granting itself the ability to masquerade as any website on the internet. And here's the really bad part. That wasn't the really bad part.
That wasn't?
No. The way Superfish does this is so badly designed that any tech-savvy person could take advantages of the changes Superfish makes to your computer and do the same kind of masquerading. And they don't even have to be on your machine. They just have to be on the same network. This is what's called a man-in-the-middle attack, and such attacks can be made in coffee shops, hotels, anywhere you're on a network shared with other people.
Well, even within the homes.
Even within the somebody else in your home could get on.
I mean, you know, you're talking so many folks right now, they promote, you know, oh, you can have your computers, you can have your tablets. Like my friend there, Ryan, he's got a little tablet. His sister has one. You know, I mean, there's other families, you know, they're all connected now.
If any one of them is on a Lenovo laptop they bought since August, that's a problem.
That's scary. You know, I mean, they're promoting so much of it to get your whole family connected.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, there's that one ad, and you know the ad I'm talking about, where the mother comes into this living room.
Yep.
And sees that the couch is tipped over and the dad and the son pop up and she just grabs her tablet and goes off to watch TV.
Yep.
Whoa.
Well, in the home, it's not quite so bad. Theoretically, you trust most of the people in your home. But in a public place where so many people go to work.
Yeah, and if your password is Linksys.
And if your password is Linksys. So after the huge uproar over both the security breach and the astonishingly tone-deaf response, Lenovo plans to release an automated tool. And I do mean tool, that will remove the Superfish adware from affected PCs on Friday, said the company's chief technical officer, who admitted that Lenovo had messed up. However, as of 5 o'clock on Friday, that tool was not yet available.
Ouch.
So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is do you own a recent Lenovo computer? Your choices are, yes, holy moly, I'm screwed. Yes, but I don't care about security. I was going to, but not now. And nope, thank goodness. So far, we've got 31 responses. 84% of you say no. Sadly, 10% of you said yes, holy moly, I'm screwed. 6% of you said I was going to, but not now. And luckily, none of you said yes, but I don't care about security. Now, I know you're going to have more to say about this one.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you will scroll down on the right, in the middle column, actually, but, you know, it's toward the right, the far right column.
Your other right?
Yeah, my other right. Down under fascinating stuff, you will see the forums. And if you click on that, it will take you to the list of the forums. The second one down is the show discussion. If you click on that, the number one topic, apparently is not there. Well, what happened to it? Did I put it in the wrong place? That's always a possibility. If I did, I will go back and put it in the right place. I'll figure out. Oh, the poll discussion. That's why I clicked on the wrong thing. Yeah, I put it in the right place. I just clicked on the wrong thing. You'll see the top. Topic is 21 Feb 15. Do you own a recent Lenovo computer? So far, five people have posted seven different things in it. You should be able to go. Apparently, these people are incapable of actually finding the article on them for themselves because they can't type in news.google.com, but that's okay. Now that you know what we're talking about, you can go in and post something about that to that extent. And, of course, you can always give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And for those of you who are getting the default page, when you go to soundbites.org, you need to dump your cash, and the correct page will appear. Nobody's sure quite why, but
it looks like www. Takes you to the plus page, and leaving the W's off takes you to the right page.
Maybe, but killing your cash will also do it. Deleting the cash.
That is still very scary. You know, like I say,
that's just stupid. That goes right along with Sony putting their rootkit in that song that they distributed.
Yeah.
It's just asinine and stupid. You would think that somebody would have had the brains God gave pigs and stood there and said, "Yeah, I don't think that's a really good idea."
And I mean, the engineer got overruled by the manager.
Yeah, likely.
Well,
yeah.
Like I say, it's so common now. You know, say like, and going back to the homes, this is where I worry about it the most, because nowadays you see kids constantly going around with their tablets. You know, and say,
well, it's not going to happen on a tablet. This is only on
I'm saying opening
desktops.
Up a network.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean.
Yeah. Well, what the thing about this is, and I actually do get it. I understand the pressure that's on CEOs like Lenovo, companies like Lenovo. They're a publicly traded company, which means their shareholders are saying, what did you do for us this month? Or in fact, today. And margins are so thin now that if some company comes to them and says, hey, we'll pay you to put this on your system, that's why so many phones and so many tablets and so many desktops have bloatware on them.
Tons of it.
Because they're being paid by those companies to do that. And I get it. It's one of the reasons that things are as low as they are and blah, 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 blah. But the reality is when it's something this dangerous, somebody... They're the CEO of an entire multinational corporation. They should be smart enough to go downstairs, find one of their brightest technicians, and say, what do you think? And if the guy says, this is horribly, horribly dangerous, and will come back and bite us on our tuchuses, then maybe the CEO should also be brave enough to say, let's not do it.
There was a Joya Tech cartoon this week about it, and it ends up that the adware was deemed financially insignificant, and so Lenovo removed it. But there's a lot of other super fish in the sea.
Yeah, right.
You know, you talk about the bloatware in that. It's also starting to come on software, you know, even like the products that we recommend, Malware Bytes and Super Anti-Spyware. Case in point. I had somebody's machine that I wound up cleaning, totally cleaning. And they said, tell you what, don't worry about it. We'll take care of setting it up. And because they listened to the show, they wanted to put, you know, the Revo on there first. And then they were going to put the Super Anti-Spyware and all the other programs. Well, I get a call, you know, a couple of days later. I don't know what's going on with this machine, but it's all messed up. It's got all this extra stuff on there, and all I was doing is putting down the bare programs. I bring it on in. I'll take a quick look at it. Again, when they're installing the malware bytes or the super anti-spyware nowadays,
yep.
It has all these other programs and bloatware that's right there that you can, and I was trying to tell them, down the bottom where it says you can decline.
One of them
all those other, because I believe Malware Bytes alone has five other additional programs that it wants to stick on your machine. And you don't have to take them to get them installed, you know, to get the malware installed.
Right.
It's sort of the side cost of getting free software.
Yeah.
And
not enough people paid for the pro version, so they have to make their money for something.
Right. And I do get that. What's nice is they let you opt out.
Yeah. Read the instructions and opt out.
But again, they're trying to blame me for it. It's like, no, I can't be responsible because you don't want to take the time to slow down and read the screens. You're just going next, 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 next. And then all of a sudden you got all this other junk on it.
You didn't want to pay me to install it for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they wanted to
save
money.
So now you get to install it yourself and screw up. That's fine.
And I said,
that was your choice.
And I said, now you got to use Revo to uninstall all that stuff.
Yep. Luckily, you had installed Revo, so they could do that without.
No, they were going to do that. They didn't even want to pay me to do that.
Okay.
No, they just said, wipe it and we'll take it from there. So when they brought it back in, they go, well, can you straighten it out? I go, yeah, but you know, you're going to have to leave it. And I'm going to, you know, I'll have to charge you. Oh, we don't want to do that. Well, I didn't do it, so why should I do it?
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
Why is it so different with computer repairmen? You know, you take your car to the garage, you expect to pay for repairs. You know,
my car is going in Monday morning. I fully expect to drop it off. My wife will drive me home, and at 5 o'clock when she gets out of work, she'll pick me up and we'll go get the car. That is entirely reasonable.
And you expect to pay for it.
And I expect to pay for the repairs.
Yeah. But something about it, we never should have called them personal computers.
That's right.
It's too personal. You know, it's too close to us.
What really makes me insane is the people who have that attitude, and it's a business computer. Well, it's only running my entire life,
And I can't be without it.
Right.
Get another one.
Right. But I also don't want to pay to fix my life. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Edring.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and I want to apologize. I'm apparently in a bit of a mood. I was rude to people in the opening segment, and I admit it. But you can give us a call, either to ask us a computer question or to berate me. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Wait a minute. Was I out of the studio or something that I missed?
No, I just riffed on people in the forums were saying, I don't know what this poll is about. And it's two things. One is you should be able to read the news on the news site. Go to news.google.com and type in the word Lenovo. It was the first thing that popped up yesterday. But also, I don't really expect people to make a vote until we've read the news on the air and then discussed it. And then people can vote, even if they haven't read the news all week, even if they have no idea what's going on in the computer world all week. Having us talk about it and discuss it gives them some idea of how they want to vote. So I don't get upset when people don't vote before the poll gets read about on the and talked about on the air.
Some people have to be first.
Well,
just to say they're first.
First is me. I put up the poll and I vote. I've not been first twice, and both times were Kenny.
Yeah, I was going to say, that goes back to the days of Kenny. I still wonder whatever happened to that kid.
I'm sure he's out having a really terrific life somewhere, and good for him. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Scott from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Scott. You're actually our first caller. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Peachy, thanks. What can we do for you?
I wanted to call with a suggestion that about installing programs like Malwarebytes,
sure,
Super Anti-Spyware, and Revo Uninstaller.
Yep.
There's a website that's called 9ite.com.
I'm sorry, I did not. What is it?
NINITE.com.
Okay.
And it allows you to pick all those different programs you would install on a new computer, and it automatically uses its installer and installs all those without you having to click next, next, and it doesn't install any of the other bloatware.
Cool.
Nice. I'm apparently I did not hear you correctly because I tried 9ice.com and it. Could you spell it
again? NINITE.
GE.
No, TE.
Oh, TE.
TE. Oh, I see. Sorry. That explains why I couldn't find it. I was hearing a C.
Yeah. NINITE.com.
Interesting. I will certainly take a look at this.
It's something you could write yourself, which is a shell script.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's all it is.
Yeah. But yeah, let me, I will certainly look into this. I see. So what you do is you click all the apps you want. It writes those shell scripts for you and clicks the installer and runs them. That's really interesting, actually.
That's really a cool little site here.
Yeah, it really is.
You can put in Chrome, you can put in Foxfire, and a lot of different
various utility programs and all kinds of interesting stuff.
Very clever. Very nifty.
Very nifty. I will definitely take a look at that. Thanks.
Picasso? All right. You're welcome. Goodbye.
Huh. Bye.
So it makes one giant installer of all your little installers.
Yeah. Just sit back and let them do it?
For setting up a new computer, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, once you do a little research into it and make sure it's
not putting in,
not doing bad things somewhere along the line.
Well, it says it's trusted by millions.
Trusted by millions. Well, then it must be.
it must
be fine. Then that's how you know. They told me they were okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like the three references they give on the front page.
PC World, Christian Science Monitor, and Life Hacker. Yeah, I'll bet the service saved me a couple hours.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very, very cool. I'll play with it. I'll definitely play with it. Some interesting products there. that are kind of nice, and most of the ones that we recommend regularly. So
yeah, especially like Google Drive is there. And
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's actually kind of nice. That's
not to play around with it, yeah.
It looks like the pro version does network management can update all the PCs on your network as well.
Revo is on there. Yeah. That's one that's definitely nice.
Most of the stuff in the Security Tango are in there, so there's something I'll be playing with. Security Tango is in the process of being fixed. There was a problem with that server last night, and so I didn't get a chance to finish setting it all up. I will do that this afternoon. I actually needed some sleep last night. I know.
Well, you're retired,
I know.
Though. You should have lots of free
slacker?
Time.
I do have lots of free time, but I used that free time doing other things before I noticed that Security Tango was down. Actually, I thought it was down for another reason, and when it turned out to be a corrupted machine, Jerry was right on top of everything. We moved it to a new machine. I got it set up, but I didn't have a chance to do anything with the database, which I will do this afternoon when I get home. I mean, the files are all backed up. That's not the issue. They're back up there. It's just the database is not working. Mm. So you get an error message when you try to go to it. But I will fix that. I will fix that later this afternoon. Probably not right after the show. I might just go home and have lunch with my wife first. But I will get it up by later
this afternoon.
You are
such a slacker. Jeez Louise, retired. You got more time than you know what to do.
Some very bad things have happened recently. I've been living in Netflix and in Amazon Prime and just watching
a lot
of television. And it happens, I get no hesitations, no buffering, no nothing. I get it on my television with Time Warner. I get pixelation and freeze all the time, but I don't get any of it on...
Are we having trouble getting to bed?
No. If you're not going to bed, it's no trouble.
No, it just sounds like me. How many years ago?
Yeah, but I don't have a wake-up call saying you got to be to work in 2 hours. I have a wake-up call that says you got to drive your daughter to work in 2 hours. I do, then I come home, and then I can go to bed. I can sleep all day and play all night.
Bite me.
Thank you. I know you mean that from the bottom of your left ventricle. So I've been doing a lot of that, and I bought a couple of movies from Google Play, and that I've always wanted and watched them. They gave away X-Men at some point, and I have that in mind.
Hey, that's one thing to keep track of on all the streaming boxes, Amazon, Apple, Google, that they quite often have free stuff.
Yep.
And just keep a look. In fact, I've seen RSS feeds of the iTunes free.
Yeah.
So that it automatically tells you this is free this week. I used to download all the free stuff, even though I didn't like that kind of music or whatever. I just downloaded it because it was free.
Well, exactly. And I do the same thing.
But then my hard drive is full. I could have picked a hard drive.
Mostly, I have a bunch of files that I just don't ever actually care about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
But then when I go to my list of purchases to find something I want, there's too much other stuff.
Yeah,
in there.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you can't really separate, like, be like folders.
Yeah.
Crap I care about, crap I don't care about. Mm-hmm. Just I only need 2 folders. But yeah, so I bought My Favorite Year the other day, which is my favorite movie. I smiled through the entire movie. It was wonderful. And I love that about it. Now, you don't have to my Blu-ray player is momentarily unhappy. And
what'd you do to it?
And nothing. It just, it's
He's
not
ignoring it
new.
It's on the internet.
Exactly.
Everything else is on the internet. Yeah.
I think it was just feeling neglected.
Neglect feeling.
And I've discovered that I can buy movies for less than the cost of the DVD. Mm-hmm. The thing you don't get are the extras.
Yeah.
And that.
That's where I still like Redbox.
Yep.
You know,
sometimes you get them there.
You know, Redbox, you can go there for, what is it, $1.68,
right.
Rent the Blu-ray, keep it for the day, and watch it, because I did that with Fury.
Yep.
I watched that, and That was there kind was, of a surprising ending, and I didn't expect that.
There was a really interesting behind-the-scenes thing on one of the Discovery channels about the Tanks of Fury. And there's a lot of Shermans, and so they didn't have any problem getting Sherman tanks. But apparently there is only one working Tiger tank in existence.
Wow.
And it's in a museum in Britain, because it was captured very early in the war. And the museum guys let them use it, but they sent a bunch of museum guys with the tank. They could only run on concrete. So what you don't see in the movie is there's a concrete pad where the Tiger tank is. And there's a guy behind it throwing mud in the air. Because it's the only working Tiger tank left in existence. And they were really cautious about it.
How cool is that?
They were able to get a real Tiger tank for the movie.
Exactly. Oh, how cool is that? Yeah. Pretty nifty. Pretty nifty stuff.
So that's the kind of stuff you want to see on these extra Blu-rays.
Yep.
But I have read that the directors often and cast often don't get paid for that, and that's why you don't see as much as it used to in the early days when it was new.
Right.
And so it, sometimes it's just a chore. I got to sit around and watch the movie again. And in fact, there was some movie we were watching, and for the whole 3 hours, the crew talked about other stuff, never mentioned the movie once.
You see that sometimes. That's very funny, actually.
Sort of the behind the scenes of everything else.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, I have to say, I installed the coolest thing the other day. I just finished reading Ready Player One. I want to thank Bonnie and Newt for and you for pointing me in that direction. Great book.
I think that's been optioned for a movie too.
I suspect it must have been by now.
Along with what was the other one? The Martian, Andy Weir.
You're right. Oh, I love that book. That book. Anyway, Ready Player One. I knew most of the references, although I suck at video games. I mean, I just absolutely and totally suck at them. I have motion sickness when I watch most of them, so I can't play them well.
Oh.
You know, I can't. I get nauseous.
So like in Mario Brothers where they're running and jumping.
Yep. Well, it's the ones that scroll and particularly the
go up and down.
The stuff I do in Second Life, you'll see I mostly am sitting in one place. I don't do a lot of walking around because I get motion sick. But it inspired me to go back to the old text adventures. Yep. Zork and Colossal Cave.
And a lot of those are online. Archive.org has preserved a bunch of those.
Well, there is in the Chrome store, the one for the browser. The Chrome store has a program called Zedit, Z-E-D-T. And it's an add-on for, excuse me, I beg your pardon. It's in Z-E-D-T, Zedit, it's Z-Edit without the I. And what it does is it's in the Chrome Web Store, and it adds to your browser a program that will play a whole bunch of the interactive fiction games, the text adventures, and of course you can add any others that you want. So and again, you can find those at archive.org and about a billion other places on the net. And once you've added it to your system, you can play all of those adventures right in your browser from your own machine. So you don't even have to be attached to the network to do it. And it's actually very, very cool. I've been playing several of those adventures for the last few days, and I don't have any. I don't have any motion sickness when I'm just looking at a text screen.
Yep. Turn left. Pick up rock. What was really frustrating with Ready Player One is I read some of the background behind it. And in the book, there was a Easter egg contest where you could win a DeLorean.
Oh, nice.
But that was in 2012 when it came out.
Right.
Darn it.
Right, exactly.
Why didn't I find this 5 years ago?
Right, exactly. And so that's actually pretty cool, the Chrome version. As the app of the app is right in the web store. So if you run Chrome, you can do that. But as Steve said, there are also about 100 places online where you can do the same thing and play them directly online without having to install them.
Some of them are built into Emacs in Unix.
Yep.
So on the Mac, they're under the OS in the Unix layer. You just have to find them. I guess that becomes an Easter egg to find the Easter eggs.
Exactly. Most of those have been found these days, but they're out there. It's a whole bunch of Easter eggs for Chrome, for Google Now, that I've been playing with, which have been a lot of fun. But yeah, there's just a bunch of this stuff out there, and it's all pretty cool.
First game I ever bought with my own money on my Mac, early Mac, was the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Infocom Text Adventure.
Yep.
And that came with your peril-sensitive sunglasses, the, there were all little things that was in the box that was part of the game. The scratch and sniff pad, so yep. There was a run room where you had to do the right sniff. And then the second one I got was the Leather Goddess of Phobos.
I was just about to say, I still have a poster for that in my room somewhere.
I love the opening. You wake up and you have this urgent need in your bladder. And depending on whether you go to the ladies' room or the men's room, that sets your character's sex, which affects the whole rest of the game.
Yep.
So when you play it as male, go back and play it again as female.
Exactly. It's a different game. It's an entirely different game. And that was one of the beautiful things about text adventures. There are also places on the net where you can write your own text adventures, which are kind of fun as well. So, it's one of the few places you can go and actually... essentially program, as it were, some stuff. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 39 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Steve from Greece on the line. Welcome, Steve. What's up?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a problem that I have no idea what's causing it, and it goes away all by itself.
Okay, no problem. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys. You know that sound that your computer makes when you plug in a flash drive?
Yep.
When I reboot my computer, I get that sound every 12 seconds. If you want to listen, I've got it right now. You can hear it in the background, maybe.
Yeah, that's okay.
Every 12 seconds.
What? Okay. And does it ever stop?
Yeah, it 2 days, 3 days later, it's gone, and I've done nothing. I sat there with Task Manager open, which is the only thing I can think of. I'll be looking at the process. It'll beep. Nothing will have changed in my... I'm looking at processes. I'm presuming that's correct.
Something got updated.
It's the USB process. It thinks there's a USB device being plugged in, and if there's not... Maybe one of the USB ports is shorted out, so it thinks there's one in there.
Every 12 seconds.
Yeah. Here's the question I have to ask. Have you tried plugging things into all of your USB device slots?
No, I haven't tried that at all.
Okay. Do me that favor.
Okay.
Because if the sound goes away...
Yeah.
Then you've got a short somewhere in one, particularly if a device doesn't appear.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a short in one of your USB plugs.
All right.
And the second thing is, if it doesn't then disappear, you've got a problem on one of the USB hubs that are built into the computer.
Okay. And we're presuming that noise is caused by a USB. I mean, I just use that as an example of what the sound is. Is there any?
Well, that's where I'd start. Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, the sound is the sound.
Downtone means disconnect, right? It's an uptone when it's connected.
Yeah, is an connected.
That's usually when you disconnect. Yeah. So has your system done any updates lately?
I actually haven't done a Windows update in a couple weeks, but this has been going on for a very long time. This has been going on for months at least. I mean, it's one of those things that it goes away, so...
Which OS are you running?
7 Ultimate. Ultimate.
Do you have a UPS connected?
No.
A battery backup?
No, I don't.
Yeah, what it sounds like is either there's, well, any some device that you do have plugged in has a problem.
Right.
Or the USB plugs themselves or the hub.
All right.
Inside have a problem. And I would start, do you have any USB devices plugged in?
Oh, yes, I do have some. I'm the guy who called a while ago where I couldn't get my computer to boot at all. Took hours to boot. And my friend told me to boot it, unplug all my USBs.
Right.
And
I was trying to find a hard drive, USB hard drive.
When I did that, it booted okay. And of course, I plugged things in one at a time, looking for the problem. So,
well, something clearly is an issue. So, if you don't plug something in,
right,
right, so now you're going to do a lot of testing. Sorry.
Yep.
Turn your machine off, unplug everything, boot it up, and see if the sound is there.
Yep.
If it's not, turn it off. Obviously, wait 20 seconds in between.
Right.
You don't want to ruin your power supply. Plug one thing in, turn it on.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have an external hard drive plugged in?
Yes.
And is it always powered on?
There is. I have the... I have one that's always powered on.
But you have another that is plugged in but not always powered on?
Correct.
It may be that it's trying to connect to that unpowered on hard drive.
Okay.
And that may be your whole problem. It may be detecting the drive.
Right.
Connecting to it, discovering there's actually no drive there because it's turned off, and disconnecting.
Ah.
And then discovering it again, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, that makes sense, too.
So that's the thing I would start with. That right there is the thing I would start with.
It's also remotely possible that that sound has been assigned to a different event.
Ah.
In control panels and then sounds and then program events, there is an event called device connect and device disconnect. And that's the sound that should play when you disconnect a device. It's possible that sound is accidentally connected
to another event.
Yeah,
he'd have to go through, scroll through the whole list to see if something else was.
Yeah, if you go to the device disconnect and see what the name of the sound is,
right, and then search for that sound.
Yeah, so it may be, you know, maybe tied to the clock, the second hand on the clock. You know, like there's an hour chime, a quarter hour chime. Maybe it's got a second chime, which would be really annoying.
That would really, really, really be annoying.
Or it's a quarter minute chime. You said it's 12 seconds?
Yep.
Maybe your clock is a little fast, and it's supposed to be a quarter minute chime at 15 seconds.
It's also annoying.
Yeah.
Up until Windows 7 came out and they changed things, I used to go in and just delete the sound files. The ching that says, okay, you really screwed up. Stop it.
Yeah.
I kept that one, but almost all the other sounds, I just deleted the WAV file. It's harder to do that now.
Yeah, you can turn, turn sounds off completely. Well, because part of the problem was the early PCs had such a crappy speaker in them, and nobody mm-hmm. connected external speakers, or the monitor would come crappy speakers.
Yep.
Exactly.
You couldn't get any decent sound out of them at all. Now, you know, now there's so many sound events, and the Aero graphics make whooshy sounds, and start up and shut down was usually the only sound you ever heard, because most people turned those other sounds off real fast.
You're right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. You gave me a place to look, some things to do. I appreciate it.
Yeah, let us know what happens.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I remember... In the real early days, there was a virus that would play random sounds.
Yes.
But, well, if it's the same sound over and over again, that's not that random.
You're right. Yeah. No, I got to suspect it's either the system working properly because he's got a turned off drive,
mm-hmm.
or improperly because there's a short or something.
Yeah, and if he has an external hard drive, and we've even seen this with USB ports that people plug flash drives in a lot, you plug and unplug too many times, and that pin, there are four little pins in there, can get bent and suddenly touch.
Exactly. That's, yeah. So we'll see.
Two of them are power, two of them are data. So if you touch the power pins, you know, you're going to get an electric short. But if you touch the data pins, you get weirdness in your computer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you want to be very careful when you plug and unplug things. What I try to tell people to do is, in general, buy yourself a hub, if even a powered hub. Plug everything into that, and then you've only got one thing to plug into your computer. So that's, to me, a better deal. And that way, even if you plug and unplug regularly, at first it's more convenient because your keyboard and mouse and whatever else is already plugged into that hub. So you don't have to plug all those things in. And you're only plugging into one jack, one USB port on your computer. So even if you do at some point mess up, you've still got others that aren't being used.
Yep.
What I find also is that, and I'm sure you guys find this more often than I do, people have stuff plugged into a laptop and they pick up the laptop to go somewhere. And that can really put stress and therefore breakage on ports for things that are plugged in.
I've had them snap. People have snapped them off. They've left a jump drive in there. It's broken the jump drive and the connection. They go, well, can you repair it? I go, no, those are all surface mounted. And on a laptop.
Yeah, the repair is a new logic board.
Yeah. It's,
no, I can. A small amount of electrical tape to cover that particular hole.
Yeah.
And so you never use it again. Yeah. Use others instead. Yes.
And on a laptop when they only got a couple to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
It's a real problem.
I found a program from Nearsoft called USB LogView that will log all your USB injects and ejects. And you can see if it actually thinks it's finding a device plugging in and plugging out.
Well, that's nice. That's a very nice thing.
I love this company. They make a lot of cool tools, but it always gets flagged by security proxy servers as hacking tools. It lets me look into your registry and find your Outlook password when you don't remember it when I'm setting up a new machine. Which the bad guys will do too. But
sure.
All these stupid bad guys have ruined it for us good guys.
Yeah, exactly. Doggone you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's something you, these things are much more, these computers are much more delicate than we think they are. You know, I always tell people, they always say, what's the first thing I should buy for my laptop? My answer is invariably insurance. Desktops sit in your house. If there's a flood or, you know, whatever, that's an issue. But laptops, you're carrying them everywhere. You're dropping them.
And
you're throwing in the back seat. You're taking them from heat to cold heat.
Yep, make sure that insurance covers accidental damage, because some of them don't.
Right. But that's the first thing you should buy for your laptop.
They cover accidental damage. What about intentional damage?
Yeah. We had a small spate of that at an educational institution I worked at one time. Everybody got the same computer because it made our lives just so much easier. One guy left his laptop on top of his truck and drove away. So we had to buy him a new laptop, and it was a much better laptop than everybody else had. Suddenly there was a spate of broken, lost, damaged laptops. Think I need a new one.
Joel just called it from Pittsburgh, and he was saying that he's having trouble getting into the Security Tango.
The Security Tango, right. I forgot to mention that. When I mentioned sound bites, clear your cache. The Tango site is the one that's down. There was an issue with the server. Everything's been moved over. I just haven't set up the database yet, which I have to do before the site will come back up. And I will do that later this afternoon, probably after lunch with my wife. Because no matter how much I love each and every one of you, and I know you want to do the Security Tango right now, I intend to sleep with both eyes closed. So after this show, I will be having lunch with my wife.
Another question I got asked this week was, everybody now is carrying around these smartphones.
Sure.
Have you ever had it in your pocket?
Yes.
And still think it's vibrating?
The Phantom Vibrate. Yeah. It's an actual thing now.
And you go to pick it out because you think it's maybe vibrating. Somebody's calling you or something. And you can feel it. You swear you can feel it.
Yep.
I sometimes don't have my phone in my pocket and I feel it vibrate.
Yes, and that's exactly right.
If I could only harness that.
They go, is this some new computer technology? Because they were asking me, and I said, I don't know. I'll have to ask this on the show.
It is called, it is an actual thing, and it's called phantom vibration syndrome. You can look it up. Type that into Google. phantom vibration syndrome. And it happens...
also known as phantom ringing.
Also known as phantom ringing. People hear that. I'll tell you what. I was in bed the other night. I was clearly in the process of falling asleep. It was that half awake, half asleep thing. I heard my phone ring. Woke me right up.
Yep.
And I suddenly realized my phone is right here and it's not ringing. So clearly I had heard it in my sleep. I looked at it. No missed calls. None of that stuff. Clearly I'd heard it, you know, half asleep, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, it's related to the face on Mars.
Oh, the pareidolia.
Pareidolia, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You hear and see things that aren't really there.
There it is. There it is.
You want to find the pattern in the random noise.
Because I've noticed that has happened to me. I'll be driving along. The phone's in my back pocket. And I feel it vibrate. I come to the upside, and I pull it out just to look. Because I usually have the Bluetooth on. So if something was, calling me, it should come on the Bluetooth. Hands free. And... nothing. It's
like phantom vibration syndrome.
That's almost as good as redial.
It really is. And this week there was this. Shouldn't smartphones not butt dial?
They don't.
I've had 5 or 6 calls this week alone. It must be something going on this week from people who I call them back and they say, what? I said, you just called me. No, I didn't. You just called me.
That's really good muscle control to slide the unlock, bring up your contacts.
I get it. That's why I assumed they were not butt dialing.
Yeah.
How do you even do that with a smartphone?
Yeah. I've never been able to. Matter of fact, I was just talking about that too to somebody else. Butt dialing for me has gone away. Back in the old days with the other phones, you could constantly butt dial, press on the wrong button. But since the button is on the side, that's totally hard.
I know, and I keep mine in a pouch on my belt, so it's a whole different thing, but it's so weird. So, phantom vibration syndrome. Those of you who keep your phone in a particular pocket and have it on vibrate will know that intimately. All right, that music tells me that we're done with the first hour of this nonsense, but sadly for you and luckily for us, we have a whole nother hour of this nonsense to get through. So you still have time to give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415 for all of you out-of-town listeners. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we are clearly having too much fun in here.
Yep.
We are sound bites. I did look at the Nynite program, and what it downloads is an EXE file, and that makes me a little leery.
Yeah.
So I'll have to do much more
investigation.
Testing. Yeah, an investigation. So I don't know, but
it's a cool concept.
It's a great concept.
I hope it's good.
Right, exactly. All right. Here's another one. The NSA and the British Government Communications Headquarters, which is the NSA in Britain, stole SIM card encryption keys from a manufacturer, allowing the groups to decrypt global cellular communications data. The effort, according to the Intercept website, took place in 2010, with the agencies breaking into a Dutch firm, Gemalto. The hack provides the government agencies the capability to monitor a large portion of the world's cellular communications, according to the report. We are, of course, supposing that the government's description of its own capabilities are accurate. The Intercept's reporting is, once again, based on documents released by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden. The firestorm initially ignited by Snowden has dimmed in the past year, waning as the pace of revelations sourced from the information he released has slowed. The NSA and the GCHQ, that's that British, excuse me, the British NSA, the NSA and the GCHQ formed the Mobile Handset Exploitation Team, or MHET, according to the report, which was built to do precisely what its name suggests, exploit mobile handsets. This disclosure is incredibly significant, the Electronic Foundation, Frontier Foundation's Mark Rumwald says. NSA and GCHQ basically have the keys to decrypting mobile communications anywhere in the world, even without the participation of local communication carriers, which even if not much, acts as some sort of check on intelligence agency behavior. It's the equivalent of these agencies having printed door keys for the front doors to millions or even billions of homes around the world, just in case they one day decided to, they needed to get in. Frankly, people should have no faith in the security of global mobile communications. What was unveiled is built upon the tools the privacy advocates worried would be abused when they were first detailed. The use of presumably innocent people's private communications data to lift the encryption keys of other individuals is precisely the sort of overreach that agencies operating in the dark are suspected of abusing. So, how do you feel about your cell phone now? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
One of the really interesting things I've found about the Snowden leak is that he could have leaked everything in one shot, and then we would have been all overwhelmed, and it would have blown over in a couple of weeks.
Right.
But things have been trickling out for, what, a year and a half now?
Yep.
And it's almost old hat. Well, yeah, we figured they were doing that. But it keeps it in the news and keeps people upset and keeps pressure on government to stop such things.
Right, exactly. And he's still living fine in Russia, I guess. I think is where he still is. And, you know, some people think of him as a hero and some people think of him as a traitor. And I'm not sure there's a lot of middle ground there. It's one or the other, generally speaking,
He wasn't in Russia by choice. That's where the U.S. State Department canceled his passport, so he couldn't leave.
Mm-hmm. So far, the Russians have been apparently very hospitable to him.
Yeah.
Good
vodka.
The Russians can pronounce V's.
I was doing Chekhov.
Only Chekhov is apparently a Russian with a speech impediment.
Yeah.
Because he cannot pronounce V's, most Russians can.
Okay.
Why would they name a city Vladivostok if they can't pronounce V's?
Russians with good sense of humor.
Yeah, he's the Elmer Fudd of Russian pilots.
Yeah, exactly. So our cell phones are not secure. I think we knew that. I think anybody who believes that they are making private, untraceable calls is not paying attention to the real world.
What we thought we knew is that the calls are encrypted until they get to the telephone company where they can be tapped.
Right.
So they can't be leaked out of the air. But this hack, you know, if some government agency has the key, then they can grab it out of the air and decrypt it.
Right. That's exactly it. And you don't need an actual phone even to do that. You can create a box that simulates that and does what it needs to do.
Yeah,
and
there's fake cell phones. Didn't the NSA have a department that made fake cell phone towers to sell to other intelligence agencies?
Yep.
And I mean, for them to even want to tap into your conversations, You've got to be somebody of great interest.
No, you know what? I don't necessarily agree with that. They may not be specifically listening to you, but I bet you they've saved your conversations.
Just in case you become a person of interest later.
I'll bet they have.
I remember.
They may never actually look at yours, but if, for example, you have somebody who comes into your store who's a person of interest to them, they'll go back and look at your stuff.
Just
But I'm just saying, Joe, the average person.
I have read, now I want to find out where I read it, about, you know, people listening to these taps about juicy phone calls and, you know, Phil, come on over, listen to this. And it passes around the office.
Well, and that can all be, you know, they have programs that listen to this stuff and pick out keywords. And keywords are just the words they programmed in. So it could be, you know, explosion, Obama, whatever. But it could also be sex or you know, whatever they want it to be. So, I don't doubt that that's not
You just
possible.
Flagged us on the keyword list.
I certainly did. So I'm thinking that there is a likelihood that your data are saved. Whether or not anybody actually listens in is a whole other story.
Somebody had an interesting question on Security Now podcast about that current encryption in general cannot be broken. You can guess the password, but you can't necessarily break the encryption.
Right.
Older encryptions can be broken now because the computing power has enhanced.
Right.
And so somebody said that's, you know, the NSA's Utah data center, that's what it's doing. It's saving all that stuff until it can be decrypted.
Right.
And when somebody's a company's security certificate expires, their old key can decrypt all their old stuff.
Right.
So I bet the government has gone to, say, Google and Facebook and said, give us your old keys. They're expired. They're not good for you anymore, right? But they can decrypt all that old stuff.
And
everything everything we imagine to be true probably is.
Probably is. And saving that stuff is just a matter of disk space.
Yeah.
Who can't afford another hard drive?
Yeah, really.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Brian. Where are you calling from, Brian?
Call from Pavilion. Nick, how are you doing today?
Good. Pavilion, did you say?
From Pavilion?
Yeah. I'm just right with my headset.
I couldn't understand him, and then with you guys talking in the background.
Yeah. No. Go ahead. What's up?
No problem. Hey, wanted to respond to your last caller last week was having problems with an SSD drive misreporting space.
Okay.
Yeah, and I had a SSD drive that was doing exactly the same thing, and it turned out that the drive was slowly going bad. It was saying it was allocating certain amounts of space, but as it runs, it was kind of consuming itself. And after about a year or so of using it for business and updating and things like that, it just decided to give up. And finally, it failed just suddenly.
Yeah, all drives as they run check. There's a system called SMART. We'll check to see if the blocks are readable, and if they're not, they'll add them to the unreadable block list. And so eventually, over time, the size of your drive gets smaller and smaller. And with SSDs being smaller to begin with, you might notice it sooner.
Yep.
Yeah, and you kept on telling me it had all this space and all this volume, but the actual quantity of data was shrinking. So that may be something for... I recognize his voice and I recognize his name. He calls quite a bit. I thought, pretty sure he'd be listening today. Maybe I could help him with that. So.
Yep, excellent thought. We have to remind people, because we stopped thinking about this,
you guys do a great job. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Brian. Bye-bye. The big thing we have to remind people about and that people need to remember is that SSD cards, whether they're flash drives or built into their Chromebooks or wherever they are, have approximately the same lifespan as hard drives. So if it's 5 years old, Google has done an extensive study of both physical hard drives and SSD drives, a practical study, empirical data. They just have billions of them and have for decades, so they have real data on how long they really last in the real world, and it's about five. The average is 5 years. So yours could last 10 or it could last zero.
Yeah, wasn't it they found about a 20% per year increase in chance of failure?
Right.
And by 5 years, that's 100%.
That's 100%. So if your hard drive, your SSD card is 3 years old, it's got a 60% chance of failure.
Yep.
So you really need to pay more attention to what. Now, that obviously depends on usage. If you only boot up your laptop, your SSD laptop, once a week, you've probably got a whole lot more time on it. But if you boot it up 10, if you're running it 10, 12, 15 hours a day and doing a lot of writing and reading from it, it's going to last a lot less. So there's no advantage, and they're not entirely sure why this is, because there are no moving parts in an SSD drive. That's what solid state means.
But
and yet they have the same life.
The act of writing data to an SSD
right.
increases the voltage to overcome the resistance in the cell. So every time you write data to an SSD, you're actually damaging the cell a little tiny bit.
Right.
And that's why they're only rated for a certain number of right. writes as well.
What they can't explain is why it's the same
yeah.
data. I mean, it's just yeah. 5 years,
yep.
Except that it's just a coincidence.
Yeah. Backblaze, which is a internet backup service, also did a similar study. They have 41,213 hard disks in their server room. And they also put out a brand awareness on what brands fail more than other brands. Hitachi DeskStar, which used to be IBM, is among the best brands, mostly because it's the most expensive
yeah.
as well.
You know, you get what you pay for what you get.
Yep. There were some Seagate Barracudas that were in the 40% failure after a year range, so it's really crazy. Well, and what's really frustrating is every hard drive manufacturer has like three or four different lines.
Yeah.
They've got the cheap one, and then they've got the good one, and then a couple in the middle.
Who's the one who does it by colors?
Western Digital.
Western Digital. It's the black line, the red line, the green line.
Blue.
The blue line.
Yeah, green is cheap, and it's supposed to be environmentally friendly to use less
right.
power. And it uses less power because it spins slower and works slower.
Right.
And then the blue is the middle, black is high, and red is really high.
Right. But you know, it's more than just how big a drive do I want. It's what kind of use you expect to put it to and what kind of lifespan. Well, lifespan is going to be 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, 20% failure rate a year. So this laptop is 2 years old. I got a 40% chance of failure.
Mm-hmm.
Get over it. That's just the way it is.
It's electronics.
We had a customer this week complaining that her computer only lasted 7 years and she was mad that it died and she needed a new one. 7 years is a really good run.
Yeah.
I was doing a bunch of cleaning. We had a little disaster in our basement, so they brought in a dumpster, stuck it in our driveway. So I took the opportunity to throw away a bunch of crap in the computer room, and I unearthed an old laptop that's got to be 15 years old. Easy. Easy. I booted it up. It had XP on it.
Whoa.
I immediately put Linux on it, reformatted the hard drive, so I killed out the bad sectors. I was just playing with it. It's horribly, horribly, horribly slow. Almost no memory. Very little hard drive. But it was just fun to play with as a 15-year-old. This was the hot box 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, this was the thing. You were proud to have this thing. And now it's you just kind of cringe when you see it. But I fully expected that drive to. Although it's been just sitting in a corner for 10 years, so.
Well, and that's frustrating, too. They sit there and don't do anything and fail. Or you use them all the time and they fail.
Yeah, right. It's true. It's so very true. All right, we're going to take another quick break. You can give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Nick, you, 19 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, a member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and we have Mark from Greece on the line. Welcome, Mark. What's up?
Hello again. How are you guys today?
Peachy. How are you?
I'm doing well. I guess my question may be geared more for Steve, and I recently got an iPod Touch fifth generation, which came with the EarPods,
mm-hmm.
and I was like really, really impressed with the sound of those EarPods, the redesign of those EarPods, and I was wondering if you've had any experience with them and what your take was on them.
Nice.
Yeah, I've got the same iPod fifth gen with the AirPods on them. Apple had a big video when they came out with it to show how good they were, and they say they laser scanned thousands of ears and generated a shape that will fit ears better. And so it's not round, it's not, you know, cylindrical. It's got a cool oval shape to it. You know, Johnny Ive is excited, the designer. You know, it's white. But yeah, they sound really, really good, and they're very comfortable to wear for quite a long period of time as well.
I love them. Another thing I love about them is you can lay down with them on. I can lay in my bed,
yeah,
and have them in, have it in my ear, and not hurt my ear or anything, rather than having something jammed into my ear canal.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed. A lot of people are complaining that they don't like them, but I think they're great. They're so comfortable, and I like them so much. My brother came over, and he listened to it, and he went out and bought a pair to play with everything.
Yeah, and they're only $30, which is amazing for the fit and quality you get out of it.
And they're from Apple.
And they're from Apple too. So, you know, we joked when Apple bought Beats, it was so they could get the $300 headset. But yeah, for $30, make a really decent pair of earpods. They're not earbuds, they're earpods. Registered trademark Apple.
Exactly.
But yeah, so it's not the earbuds that we're used to. I got a pair here I'm using to monitor my iPad. But the they fit really nice, and it's a standard remote and mic connection, so you can run it on pretty much any cell phone or tablet that accepts it. So it also has a mic in it too for recording and for answering phone calls.
Right. What I think they did with that design is actually made a pair of like whatever their old earbuds were, turned them around so that they were facing the other way, so that they could insert it in the ear the other way, so that the sound is actually being projected towards the back of your head in the pod, and then shot out the side.
Yeah, it actually has two openings. There's the wide opening where we would sort of expect to actually see the sound come out, and then there's a smaller one in the other area, so it allows better airflow.
The bass is incredible on it too, and you could test it out by just covering those little ports at the bottom of the ear pod where the cord goes in. There's two little ports, one faces the front and the back. You cover those suckers up, and instantly the bass goes away.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, I'd suggest to anybody that wants an affordable pair of ear buds, pods, that like really good sound, because I think they're incredible for $30.
Yep. Nice, thanks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got several different brands that we sell in our store, and a lot of people overlook the Apple brand. And some of the folks...
Well, they must be overpriced because they're from Apple. A lot of people think
yeah.
that.
Yeah, they...
So I can save a buck by buying something else.
Yep. But yeah, at $29, they are, you know, comparable. You know, we sell Skullcandy, we sell Beats, right. We sell Sony. We had these really expensive Sony pair that took a while to sell, because most people, when they're coming in, we find a lot of joggers that sweat through their earbuds, so they want as cheap as they can get because they're going to be ruined in a few months anyway.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, look at the these things, the pads on this. These,
yep.
Those are gone. But yeah, so Mark is absolutely right. The EarPods, they're way better than $29 would lead you to think.
Yep.
Very, very nice. Very, very nice.
You're getting a good quality for the price.
Yep. 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 Well done. Well, interesting thing. We had Steve from Greece earlier talked about that USB device being plugged in and out. Sound
yeah, in and out, and it kept ringing every 12 seconds or so.
Yeah, and every week, of course, I keep track of all the calls we've gotten, and Steve puts them actually in the sound file, attaches them to the sound file. And last week, an entirely different person, James from Rochester, called and said his laptop was making that remove USB sound all the time.
I remembered that, and I thought it was the same guy.
So I thought it was the same guy, too, but
He's
when I looked back, it was
a different guy.
So
what did we recommend last time?
Yeah, right. I have to listen to
go
the
back
thing.
To that.
Same stuff. Yeah.
Listen to the archive.
So I'm wondering if there isn't something else going on that we kind of missed the point of it somewhere along
That's
the
what
line.
I'm wondering about some update.
Well, I wonder if flash drives are getting to be so cheap that the manufacturing quality has got to be pretty low these days to get them churned out so cheap.
Right.
That you know people are pushing flash drives in and out of the computers all the time now that may be causing an issue with the pins.
Could.
In the
right. But you know James from Rochester from last week may have exactly the same problem if he's got a hard drive that's plugged in but not turned on.
Mm-hmm.
His system may be rediscovering it over and over and over again. And just turning it on or not plugging it in until he needs it would solve the issue.
Standard USB connections have a 1,500 insertion cycle life. So plug them in and out 1,500 times. That's their designed life. So two or three times a day, that's not very often.
That's right.
Now, the Mini B connectors have a 5,000 cycle life, but they are so small you can't fit them in the hole anyway. You're always trying to maneuver around.
Now we have the universal USBs, which plug in either way now.
Yeah, so they're double width.
Right.
It's basically two connectors stuck together.
All right, our next caller is James from Rochester, who may be the same James from Rochester. Let's find out. Hi,
yes,
James.
Yes, I am. And
yes, you are.
I went and got a new mouse at Staples, and it stopped. You recommended that it's time to get a new one. I got a new one, and it stopped making that noise.
So the little USB dongle for the mouse was doing it.
Oh, that's right. You had the wireless mouse.
Yeah, I had the wireless, but I was getting that sound like maybe 20, 30 times a day sporadically, you said go get a new mouse,
and
new wireless mouse, and I got one, and it hasn't made it since.
We often find, because that had that little nub of a USB port, right?
Uh-huh.
We often find that when people take their computers and put them in the case, they don't remove those because they're so small, you forget about them. Also, you think, well, they'll fit in the case. But if the case is designed to just fit the computer, then they often rub against the side and cause an issue either with breaking the port or breaking the device.
Or they put it in the case, and then they also stuff the cord in there and that, and they pick it up by the handle, you know, the case, and you're moving it around.
Right.
Something there gets... It doesn't take much.
No, it really doesn't, and that's why we...
But mine wasn't used, you know, I didn't carry it around in the case. I basically at home, but it was just maybe 3 years old. I don't know. They wear out or whatever.
One other
question for you.
Sure.
On the earbuds for the joggers, what I wanted to ask, I think it was Steve or somebody at his store, what he thinks of the earbuds and what are the best one for the joggers that he'd recommend that stay in?
Well, we have three or four different brands, and they're very personal, unfortunately. And most of the brands come with three different sized covers that you can put over them to help fit them in your ear better.
What do you think of the earbuds?
I haven't seen those. Just looking at their website right now.
Yeah, they have a different way of the rubber thing. Supposedly it stays in better. Do you know if there's anyone that the joggers prefer that stay in their ears the best or not really?
Not really. It seems to be pretty personal. Everyone likes their own brands. And a lot of times with joggers, they just buy the cheapest one they can because they know they're going to...
because they wear out quick.
I also know a number of joggers who have over the outside ear cans that they wear instead. I've also seen them where they're built into the sweatband.
Yep. Oh, okay.
You know, so you've seen those sweatbands that are really earmuffs. They, you know, you can wear them in the winter and they fit over your ears, keep them warm.
Yeah, we have some.
You can get those with speakers in that, with ear phony things in them.
Yeah, we have some knit caps like that for skiers.
There you go. Yeah. And those certainly will stay on better. You still have the issue, of course, of sweat.
Yeah.
And there's simply no fix for that, you know, but... that certainly would keep them on your head a lot better and a lot more easily.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. And you hit it right on the mark with that mouse. I appreciate it.
Well, we got to get one right every once in a while.
Good one. See you later.
Thanks, James.
Yep.
All right, so he did. He tried a new mouse, and that did it. Yeah,
even
stuff wears out.
Gets lucky once in a while.
Exactly.
Yeah, some of the earbuds have like a loop that hooks right over top of the ear,
yep,
because jogging tends to jostle earbuds out of your ear.
Yep.
And so that's why a lot of them wear cans so that they can stay on their head.
I've had those over the ear loops. Mm-hmm. My problem is I have very weird shaped ear holes, and so most earbud type things don't fit me well. I've been looking at the Apple ones for a while, and I'm really reluctant to go buy a pair because I honestly don't know if they're only $30, so big deal. But
if I got a pair with me, you can try.
Oh, thank you. I will. but yeah, so I have.
Actually, that's the worst thing. You can't try on the earbuds to see if they fit,
right,
and
yeah,
then and then return them to the store.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I have my alcohol pads with me, too.
Excellent. I was about to say that would be best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be... Ew.
Yeah, well, yeah.
If you've ever looked at your earbuds and see the...
I don't look at my earbuds. Thank you so much.
There was a Mythbusters episode. Remember that scene in Shrek where he lights the candle?
I know. I'm exactly what you're about to say, and we don't have to talk about that right now. However, what I do want to talk about is this. Microsoft loves giving away free OneDrive space. Last week, they gifted 100 gigabytes of free storage for signing up for Bing Rewards.
Bing.
And that is still available. So if you are a Bing user, and if you're not, well, excuse me, if you're a OneDrive user, and there's no reason not to be no matter what you like in terms of an operating system or whatever, because it's 100 gigabytes of free online storage for 2 years. You should head over to bing.com/rewards/dashboard, and Steve will put that up online. And if you do not have a OneDrive account, sign up for one. They're free. And you get an extra 100 gigabytes for 2 years. I bet you'll find something to do with those 100 gigabytes.
Yeah, I've only got 25 gigs at the moment.
Well, you got to sign up for Bing Rewards.
That's left over from Xbox Live.
Yep.
That if you signed up with your Xbox account, you got 25 gigs instead of the 7 they normally give you free.
Yep, yep, yep.
And actually, that's really forcing down the prices between Apple and Microsoft and Google and the other drive storage companies. The price of additional storage, you're getting more for free, and additional storage is costing less and less. To add to this online storage capabilities, it's becoming a price war.
Yep, I'm just signing into mine now.
Let's see if we can crash the Bing website by having everyone sign in.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you go to, and Steve's going to put the thing online. You sign up for your free gig. I now have 129 gigs of storage. I got the...
Where's that extra four from?
That was a different reward system they had set up, and I got that one as well. So the 100 gig is really only available for 2 years. But you know what? I'll take advantage of that. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah,
It's 100 gigabytes free for 2 years.
In 2 years, maybe that will be the free amount.
That it might be. So, you know, we're seeing this all over. There's no reason not to have to give people lots of space because it's just space. It's just open space on the drive. I got 100 gig when I bought this Chromebook. Sadly, you only get that 100 gig per Chromebook once. The fact that I have two different Chromebooks doesn't help me any. I don't get another 100 gig. But so there's a lot of stuff here. I haven't really looked into the terms yet. I know that on Google, those 100 gig go away, you don't lose the stuff that was in them. You can still access the stuff. You just can't add new stuff. Right. So I don't know how that works in terms of this. But there's all kinds of other stuff you can get free. This is and that's do a bunch of things. You use their Bing Rewards system and you get points and you can redeem those points for things. And there's just a whole bunch of stuff that's available. So it's actually pretty cool. And there's no reason for you not to get 100 free gigs for a couple of years, even if you're just using it to move data around. Which is one of the things I do with it. I back up data to Dropbox quite regularly, but that space is getting kind of full. So my hope is that with the 100 gigs for Bing, I can start backing stuff up to that for a while, even just for temporary stuff. I have an awful lot of pictures that I need to.
Did they let you keep your office at your schools with your super high speed network and backup storage?
I have.
you're an alumni and you're.
In terms of speed of the network, I have Greenlight now,
yeah,
which is exactly the same speed I had at my desk, 100 megabits. So my system at home is now exactly as fast as my system was at work. So it's a beautiful thing. I'll tell you that right now. It's a beautiful thing. In terms of the multitude of computers I had access to, that's pretty much gone away. So that's all right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, you. 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported, Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Rich from Irondequoit, New York on the line. Hi, Rich. What's up?
Hi, guys. I tuned in a bit late before, and was I correct in hearing you say that laptop computers' working life is short?
The hard drives, whether they are standard mechanical hard drive or an SSD solid state drive, and this also includes flash drives and everything else, have an average life of 5 years.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, Google did a test that said they have about a 20% failure rate per year. So if your hard drive is 3 years old, it's a 60% chance it's going to fail.
I see. Well, my real question is, I've got a three-year-old HP laptop, and it will connect with an Ethernet to my router, and I can get on the Internet. However, it will not connect any longer via Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi icon on the in the program is not there, so therefore I cannot connect to the Internet Wi-Fi, but yeah. Ethernet, yes. Make sense to you guys?
Yes, it absolutely does for one of two reasons. One is it could simply be that the Wi-Fi has burned out or disconnected.
Yeah.
But there's another thing that many laptops have, and some HPs do, and I don't know, I can't tell you which models off the top of my head. They actually have an outside physical switch that turns Wi-Fi on and off. This was designed as a security feature.
Yeah, I'm aware. Yep. It's white and it's orange, and the white status is on. So I've played with that, and that is not the issue. Someone said it's a chip. Can there be a Wi-Fi chip in these things?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the only way you get to Wi-Fi.
Yeah. And there's also, I've seen when folks... Now, what OS are you running?
Oh, Windows 7, I think.
Okay. Sometimes with the when you do the updates and that, not all the Wi-Fi driver updates work correctly.
Yeah, it could be a software issue with the drivers.
So, you know, sometimes it's a matter of deleting that and having it refined and install the original wireless drivers for that particular machine.
Can I do that myself without going in? Or
yeah.
Yeah, you have to go into your device manager.
Now, is this a laptop?
Yes.
All right, yeah. Usually on the laptop, they create a folder with all the drivers for your particular laptop.
Yes.
You just got to go in there and find the one for the wireless and have it reinstall it.
So I delete it and then reboot the computer. Yeah.
Yeah, and have it refind it, or you can just, right from that one while it's still on, have it install over itself. See if that'll work.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
XP had a very easy way for me to find all those drivers.
Mm-hmm.
But Windows 7, it doesn't seem to be as easy. Can you tell me where they, under what?
The drivers would be, like I say, under a folder, usually if it's a Toshiba or it'll say drivers, under your, if you click on the Windows or the My Computer and go to the C drive, and under the C drive, you'll see all your folders. And under the folders will be usually a folder that'll say either the manufacturer's name, Toshiba, or quite often they'll put it as just drivers.
Okay.
All right?
I will try that. Thanks, guys.
Give it a shot.
And you may want to go to the manufacturer's website. If it's a name brand computer like HP, Toshiba.
Yeah, you can put it in the model number and
download the latest drivers. Or if it's a home-built website or a home-built computer, then you may have to go to the motherboard manufacturer. Depends if the wireless is built into the motherboard or if it's an add-on card.
Right.
And if all that fails, and it does actually mean the wireless in the computer shot, you can get a USB Wi-Fi card for $10-$15.
Yeah, external. Yeah.
So you know, another one of those little dongles that plugs into the USB port that you can break off when you put in your case.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They used to be,
little device. Yeah, that's so true.
In fact, what's interesting is there's some really, really tiny ones that don't stick out very far, but that means the antenna's not very big.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be too far away from your base station, or you get the big one with a giant antenna on it,
which
looks bad.
The other thing that breaks off very easily, and I still envy the Macs on their design, is the power cord.
Yeah.
The number of folks that get up, go to grab their computer, take off, and it's still plugged in. And then they snap that off. Now, that can be repaired, but it is costly.
Yep.
Because you have to take the whole laptop apart. I had somebody come in. They did exactly that. They got up, they took off, and snapped it. And when they brought it in to me, I looked at it, and yeah, it was wiggling around like crazy. And they go, you know, what's it going to cost? And I gave them the price. And they go, why so much? I go, I literally have to take out hundreds of little screws and remove the motherboard, flip it over to unsolder it to connect a new connector.
Yep.
Well, I can go buy another one. I go, exactly. You know, you can go get a Chromebook. I've been pushing the Chromebooks quite a bit. You know, a couple hundred bucks.
I love
bucks.
My Chromebook.
You know, you can do everything that you want to do with it. Well, I got to rethink this. By all means, go ahead. But, you know, that's what it is. It takes a lot of time and effort. I have to set out the sheet of paper, and I mark it off in little squares. It looks like a big, you know, cross, little checker box, crossword. And I label each one where I got the screws from, because there are tons of little screws in there holding this and that down that I have to disconnect and unhook to first get the motherboard out. It's a pain in the butt.
We went to the craft store and got little bead boxes.
Yeah.
And fill it with screws instead of beads.
No, that absolutely works. The magnetic connector in the Mac is a brilliant idea.
That is.
The problem is twofold. One is that Apple patented it, so people have to pay Apple to use it, and they're reluctant to do so because it increases the cost of their laptops.
Mm-hmm.
The other reason is Apple doesn't even use it on everything. In fact, they only use it on the laptops.
Which is silly.
They don't use it on their phones. They don't use it on their tablets. So there may be some technical reason that it's not easily used or just horribly expensive to use.
I can't, you know, it's just such a cool design.
It's the resistance of the PC world to use anything Apple.
Well,
in fact, when they included
to pay for anything, I mean, the reality is that if it has been in fact patented by somebody and they are charging you, if you use that, you have two choices: make less money, that's going to happen, or pass the cost on to the customer, which means that now your costs are higher. Your device costs more than somebody else's.
You figure out some way around the patent.
Right. So Apple has, with their MagSafe, as they're calling it. But
one thing I have read that the newer MagSafe 2 on the newer models is thinner, because that's the big thing now. You gotta have your computer really thin. And some people complain that it falls off too easy.
Right.
Now, you're using the computer on your lap, and the cord falls off without you knowing it, and suddenly your battery's dead.
Right. There is a Kickstarter for something called MagnoPlug. But the problem with that is, of course, now you have to retrofit your computer with it in some way. Yep. Not that it isn't doable. It's just, you know, it's not built into anybody's computer.
I'm always surprised by how many different power plugs there are for laptops in the same brand. You know, Dell doesn't even use the same plug on all their brands.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Well, and the thinner you start making something, Apple's always had this fetish. It's not thin enough.
Yep.
You get to a point where it can't get any thinner because you can't plug anything into it.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a new phone out from Xiaomi called the M4, I think it is. M4. It's their note. It's a phablet, you know, the phone tablet. It's a really interesting phone too. We're going to see another round of this because it's a 5.7 inch screen, so it's bigger than an iPhone 6 by a little bit. It's 1080p. It's a 2.3 gigahertz processor, so it's a little faster. And it's only $370. So the way they're advertising it to match or beat Apple spec sheet, it's a bigger screen. It's smaller, lighter, thinner, and about half the price. Now, is it a great phone? It's certainly got the specs. But who knows? You know, right now they're only selling it in China. But, you know, that company, Xiaomi, makes 5 of the top 8 models sold in China, which is the world's biggest smartphone market. So, you know, they're doing okay for themselves over there. That's not a question. In fact, they're third place in worldwide share behind Samsung, which is number one, and Apple, which is number two. So they're not doing shabby. I'd like to see one that ran on the Verizon network because a list price of $370. You know that, and I mean that's full price. That's, you know, if you
non-contract,
right? Thank you. Non-contract price $370. That's doable for many people.
Well, that's why I'm waiting. My contract is up this July 1st. Waiting to see what's out there. Because right now, to be honest with you, I have no reason to switch phones. Because right now, the biggest thing for me is battery life.
Yep.
And right now, the Razer MX that I have has quite a good battery life.
Yep. I've got easily, and for all that I use it, I still get two and a half days out of it. But that's one of the problems with all this super thin thing, is the thinner you make it, the less battery life you have. All right, sound means we're done for another week. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to apologize to those to whom we did not get. You really need to call in earlier and more often. But we will be back in just 166 hours. In the meantime, don't tune out, because George is coming in to play the best German music you will hear all week. Michael's going to keep him on the air, which, you know, involves, I think, an axe handle and some anger. But we'll get that done. And we'll be back next week, 166 hours from now, with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. For Dave Enright, Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. We are Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you next week.